missing pages are going to be passed out so that everybody has a copy. While we're waiting for him. Okay, see, there was a reason why I was back there. I just want to remind everybody, if you could please turn your phones off or down so that they're not disturbing or distracting while we're trying to conduct the meeting.
Which makes them even more.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I see.
So, can you do a roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't do it.
This is not going to work.
Commissioner Madigan?
Excused.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Supervisor Press?
Here.
All right. Okay. On to item D.
You can stop, please.
Jerry, I'm going to sue the county for making me deaf.
Can I get in on that? I'm closer.
What?
There's more if anybody needs
to. Slow down, I'll get you.
Hey, Liz, she's on notice of the lawsuit. There's that's pretty respectable.
Does anyone have to go talk to 6 months?
Not to scream at me anymore.
Okay. 6 months to file.
All right, on to item B, approval of summary proceedings from the, October meeting. Oh, no, I'm thinking here. October 21st, 2015, regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
Janice, can I make one adjustment before you guys motion?
Absolutely.
I did get an email from Judith Kaufman who just wanted me to change the spelling of her name, so I'm going to go ahead and change the spelling.
Okay, so if we could revise the motion to include the correction.
I make a motion to include the correction.
Okay, second.
I second that.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Next, we have the consent agenda. We have nothing on the consent agenda, so we will then move on to item D, which is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter, not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we will start at the front and work our way back. First table, Robin, Jill, no. Next table, Sue.
Made you blink. Let me go around.
That way it's easier.
Yeah. Hey, you guys. I can just kind of follow along. Okay.
I'm getting you icy.
Susan Bennett, Kern Humane Society. I wanted to report because I missed last month. In the last three months, we have paid for 800 animals to be spayed or neutered and to help with emergency situations. This month, as you know, we write vouchers. We call coupon day on the first Saturday of every month. And this month, on November 7th, we wrote 168 vouchers, spoke to 120 individuals. For those 168 vouchers, I also wrote 4 emergency vouchers, one of which Nick will talk to you about, I'm sure, on Bella. But we wrote 4 emergency vouchers for a total of $665. For those of you who are not aware, we do spay and neuter. That's our job. But for the last 40 years, But we also, somewhere along the way, realized that our volunteers were working into their pockets to help people coming in with sick animals. Hmm. So we started what we call our emergency fund, which is we pay for the office visit. You get in. What you do after that is not our problem, but at least you know whether your dog needs to be put down or not. So sometimes the vet refers, sometimes they get on the website, you know, whatever. In this case, we had a lot of things come all at the same time, so it was a big month for emergencies. But that's our job, and we have the vet. You know, we're 100% volunteer. And so people say to me, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, mommy, I'm just writing the check. Those people are the ones who are here every day working and cleaning up. So thank God for volunteers.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, sir. Are you continuing? Liz?
Good evening. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the Pittsuit Visorial District. Commissioner Blackburn and I were talking about this a little bit before the meeting, and I couldn't find the page, but now, thank you, we have the page. And this is, and all, I guess I should have brought it up a long time ago. I don't understand, under City of Bakersfield, on page 6, for the outcomes, what return to owner is. Why is county returning animals to the owner? I don't understand the adoption. Is this by residents of the City of Bakersfield from the county shelter, or what? I don't know if you can shed any light on this
directly. Is that a question that we should pose when Director Cullen does his report, possibly? Where are we discussing now?
Oh, I mean, if he...
I'm just asking my proper protocol.
I don't have the page.
You can discuss it now. You can discuss it under his report.
Okay, technically,
the public presentations are for items not on the agenda.
Right, which that kind of is.
I just don't understand.
Okay, so when it comes to your report, can we discuss that there? Yeah. Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, Liz. Okay, on that same table, Jim, sir?
Good evening, everyone. Just want to say I'm honored to be...
Could you bring that up?
Oh, there you go.
And state your name, please.
My name is Christopher Carlberg. I'm honored to be in the presence of so many animal lovers, and so thank you all for coming, especially those of you that aren't, you know, paid to be here. I understand. Thank you for taking your time.
Pretty much on most of us, yeah.
So basically, I'm here tonight just to offer our services. I represent an organization called Bee Rescue. So what we do is as it sounds, we offer an alternative to pest control. So in California, this is a rising issue, especially with, you know, the recent bee losses, the deaths. And so we were started in Orange County, and we currently have representatives in Orange, Riverside, and LA counties, but we're just offering that to the local people that need that service. So instead of the people that are willing to reach out and actually look for a rescue, instead of just having them killed, that's those are the people that we find calling us or emailing us. And I'm happy to be here to offer our services in Kern County. I'm a resident in Wasco. I live at 16409 Palm Avenue. And I am new to the area, so this is my first real summer. I just basically moved here in May after I graduated from CBU down south in Riverside. So happy to be here and hoping to get to know you all a little better.
Thank you. Wonderful. Welcome to Kern County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope you stay. Thank you for what you do.
Yes.
How does one get a hold of you? Yeah, do you have cards?
Yeah.
I have a couple tonight, and then it's brescue.org. Okay. You can look this up there. It's just a bulletin.
That's a good idea.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is it
BEE rescue.org?
Yes, rescue.org. That's very cool. All right. Next table? Going down, across. Nope. Okay. Table behind. Anybody? Next. Second to last row, I believe, it looks like. Anybody back there? And on the very far reaches. Anybody back there? All righty then. Closes public presentations. Thank you. All right. Next, item E, staff announcements and reports.
Good evening.
Good evening.
To answer Liz's question, so we do process adoptions to city residents. So the statistics on there for adoptions are animals that were adopted to city residents.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, the RTOs is when we receive an animal that we scan for a microchip that has an owner that resides in the city, and the animal either gets transferred to the city or given back to the animal owner, it's down there as a city RTO.
Thank you.
I wanted to touch on a few different things in the report, a few that are not on the report. First and foremost, our rescue team is still prevalent. We still do rescues. The month of October saw 146 animals placed through rescue efforts. Secondly, our foster program still continues to be strong, even though we've had the cyclical drop in intakes. So we're still putting approximately 50 animals every month through the foster program. It looks like it's 48 in the month of October. But like I said, usually this time of year is when the intakes start to drop as soon as it gets cold out. And we're still putting animals through foster, which is vital to where we want to be. Our TNR program is still going strong. Now, since July 1st of 2013, 3,620 cats have had their lives saved through the TNR program, Trap, Neuter, Release program. The other thing that comes through that Trap, Neuter, Release program that isn't shown in any statistics is, not occasionally, a lot of times we'll get a feral mom with a litter of kittens. Well, the feral mom we usually put through the TNR program, and what starts out as feral kittens are usually put through the foster program and then entered into the Petco adoption program or just the in-house adoption program. So it doesn't really show that. There's really no way to break it down and show it. It's included in the adoption numbers, but that Trap, Neuter, Release program does more than just fix the feral cats. We get the kittens and we try to acclimate them and put them into adoption, too.
Are you just blaming the mom cat, or are you going to talk to the dad as well?
Anybody and everybody who's responsible for that litter.
I feel a little, one-sided in this game here.
Just kidding.
I'm sure the daddy cat is nowhere to be found.
Typical.
I set you up for that one. Also in October, the department had our fifth annual Howling for Homes adoption promotion. You'll notice that we almost always have adoption promotions. All our dog adoptions were reduced to $15, all cat adoptions reduced to just $5. We had a good deal of success with the Howling for Homes as we usually do. We adopted out 182 cats and 293 dogs in the month of October through that program.
Wow.
That's 23% more adoptions than we did last year, same time period.
Fantastic.
A few things that aren't on the statistical reports that I wanted to bring out. The month of October was a little interesting because I think we did 479 regular adoptions and I think one medical waiver adoption. So it was 480 total adoptions in the month of October. You never want to euthanize an animal, but the statistics for the month of October was 490 animals euthanized in October. We came 10 animals shy of adopting out more than we actually put down.
Wow.
And we look back in statistics and we've never been able to accomplish that. So we're on the brink. The other thing I wanted to touch on is that I was going through some statistics and I sent out an email to the staff because I thought this was something they'd want to know. For the month of July, August, September, and October of this year, we adopted out 423, 431, 475, and 479 animals, respectively, July through October. Four straight months with over 400 adoptions. Never before in the history of animal services, at least documentable history, have we ever adopted four straight months with 400 animals. Nor have we ever adopted over 400 animals in any 4 months in any 12-month period. Also, we were trying to determine the reason for those statistics, you know, because we're animal services and we like to make sure that we know the reason behind these things, and it's not just an anomaly, but we noticed that rescue organizations were adopting quite a few animals from us, which, in my opinion, they're finding a good home. I'm fine with it. And the rescues do that for a good reason, because it saves them money in spaying and neutering animals. I had initially thought that I would see a stark decrease in the amount of animals rescued in comparison with the increase in amount of animals adopted, and that wasn't the case. The rescues stayed the same, approximately 160 every month, but the adoptions have still increased. So I think that's all just, you know, good work that the department does, but more the response from the community when we have these adoption events and promotions. And I think it's fascinating and awesome for me to see. I did want to let everybody know about the story that occurred just recently. One of our officers, Officer Macy's, responded on an evening a couple weeks back for an animal that was hit by a car. He responded, picked up the dog. The dog seemed like it was stable. We got it to the shelter. Our new shelter supervisor looked at the animal, called the medical staff over. We decided to send it to Bakersfield Veterinary Hospital. Mm-hmm. Turns out that the dog, her name is Bella, and Bella had been hit by a car, and the impact was so strong that all of the air escaped her lungs. And she actually had a punctured lung, too. So when we took her to Bakersfield Veterinary Hospital, they removed about 2 liters of air from her chest cavity.
Wow.
If she hadn't gone to the vet, she probably would have passed away. Later that day, or I think the next day, we were contacted by a gal who was frantically looking for her dog, Bella. Come to find out, this is her animal. You know, at that point that she contacted us, she had about an $800 vet bill, which she just moved, and all her money was tied up in a deposit for her home. She really couldn't afford to pay $800 vet bill. I communicated with the veterinarian. Not only was it an $800 vet bill, but Bella was in such bad shape that she needed to spend another 4 or 5 days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. When all was said and done, she had a $1,200 vet bill that she couldn't afford a dime of. Our department reached out to the Friends Foundation. Our department reached out to Kern Humane. And our department reached out to a new organization called the Susie Spector Foundation. The Susie Spector Foundation is a nonprofit that just started up about 2 months ago. They came and visited us and gave us a bit of a presentation, and they offer services for individuals who have an animal that needs immediate medical care and they cannot afford it. They also offer services to owners who are in need of euthanizing their animals and cannot afford it. So this is sort of the first time we made contact with them, but the Susie Spector Foundation covered $400 worth of her vet bill. The Friends Foundation covered $450 of her vet bill. And Kern Humane Society covered $300 of her vet bill.
That's good.
You know, there's when you've been doing this for 10 years, it's not too much that tugs at your heartstrings, but, you know, to see Bella go home with her family was adorable. And I think I sent some of you the video, even though it was grainy. But it's those things that kind of remind you why we're all in this business and why we do what we do. And that was a good story. And it was a good partnership between all the organizations to reach out and get this done. And
the could the owner become a volunteer?
She was more than willing, to be honest with you. She was willing to do just about anything
nice
to get
her
dog back. But yeah, she's a very nice lady. You know, we obviously get situations like this from time to time, and every now and again you could just tell when it's the right case and the right animal, and then we need to do something about it. So our department waived all fees so she can get her animal back. She just had to get some help paying for the vet bill. So I thought that was a really good story. Also, I've been talking about this for quite some time. I'm sure Commissioner Blackburn will like to hear this. Our animal control officers are now in the 21st century.
Welcome.
Our animal control officers are now all outfitted with tablets that carry access to our server in each vehicle. We've talked about this before, that it will make the job that they do more efficient, because when they're responding to calls after hours, they will have access to history records on those animals that they respond to and those addresses that they respond to. So they've been live for about a week and a half. It's making their jobs much better. It's kind of revolutionizing what we do in the field between dispatch and the officers, but it's just another sign of some progress that's happening in the department. And lastly, I did want to mention, if anybody doesn't know, but at Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting, Chairman Couch and the Board of Supervisors gave the department a challenge and a bit of a goal. And that challenge and goal was to develop a roadmap, if you will, on how the department can be a no-kill sheltering organization.
So not to kill supervisors or to kill?
You're safe.
Hey, that's one of my nubbies. I'll be in the fifth. I know from experience.
But I truly do believe that it is an attainable goal. I don't think it's unrealistic.
You have to.
I don't think it's unrealistic following the path that we're on now to achieve that. I don't think it's dependent upon any kind of mandatory spay-neuter. I don't think it's dependent on any programs or organizations that don't currently exist for this to come to fruition. I truly believe that we're on the path and the programs are in place to get that done. When we'll be able to achieve that type of goal, I haven't decided yet. I will come back to the board with a report on how we're going to get there. But when I'm sitting down and looking at it, and I'm looking at sort of the consensus in the professionals in the field of what it takes to get an organization to a no-kill. And for those of us who don't know, the no-kill moniker does not mean that an organization does not euthanize animals. It means that their save rate or their euthanasia rate is 10% or under. It's not unattainable. It's a goal that we can achieve if we manage to continue down the path that we've gone and continue receiving the support from the Board of Supervisors that we've had. And I think we have some really good people in place that are going to help make that happen. And lastly, speaking of those good people that are in positions to make that happen, Lisa Richardson is here. Lisa Richardson has just been appointed our shelter supervisor.
Yay.
Well, she wasn't appointed. She interviewed and tested and was given the position. Lisa was the acting shelter supervisor since January. And as I said before, my hope is that she does way better than the last shelter supervisor.
So does the board. You're optimistic.
And I can answer any questions.
Nice. Jeff's not here, right?
No, he's
he didn't talk about the volunteers.
I did not.
You did not?
It looks like we've accounted for 2,173 hours in the month of October for our volunteers. And for those of us who don't know, our volunteer program, it started in February or so of 2014. I think we had, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe three or five hardcore volunteers, people that were active volunteers. And I think we have about 130 now. Those 130 volunteers do everything from socializing animals to exercising animals to cleaning kennels to taking care of puppies. We also have the Petco venture, where we have animals in both Petco stores in Bakersfield. Well, that's 100% supported by the volunteers. Volunteers go out there every morning, and they open the store, open the cats, socialize them, clean them, and kind of give a name to the face, too, for the people that are interested in adopting. So when you talk about some of the things that have happened in the department, it's easy to forget the volunteers. But, I mean, when I'm leaving at night and I see the volunteers washing dishes, and I see the volunteers walking dogs out to the play yard for exercise, we've been rolling in a good direction for so long now that it's getting to the point where you take it for granted that these are things that we've never had the ability to look at or even hopefully be able to do. And our core of volunteers is a part of our eventual equation of being a no-kill facility. So, yes, thank you for reminding me, Commissioner.
No problem.
I have a question.
Yes.
I thought your remarks were incredibly fascinating regarding capacity. Sounds like you think we have the current capacity. to get to where we all want to go and need to be. But is there an increase in spay and neuter funding that would get us there quicker? Or are we sort of moving at the capacity that we can handle right now?
I think that with the veterinary community, with the staffing that we have right now, with the nonprofits part of it, I think that we're about maxed out on potential.
Got it. That's all I need.
It's a bit of work for a good cause and a good reason, but it's a lot of work trying to maintain the spay-neuter program. And
sure.
I think that we'll learn a lot over the next year and a half to 2 years about success and about what it's going to take to manipulate the program to get it to continue to get results. Because with a spay-neuter program like this, you're always going to be successful in the first year or two. You're going to get those, what we call low-hanging fruit, people that want the access to the resources, people that are willing and wanting and able to do it. And we will eventually get to the point where we'll start to see a drop in the responsiveness from the community for spay-neuter, and we'll have to develop some other avenues and routes to get those people's attention. And that may be, you know, canvassing, that may be media campaigns, but yes. But if you want to throw more money at us...
I was going to say,
not after that response. No. At the time, you know, I think it's very gracious of you to be reasonable with the board and say, look, we're at capacity, rather than going after more dollars every year, asking for more, because...
Keep it steady.
You know, we want it very steady. Yes. I mean, you remember, we were concerned about getting it our second year. That was the critical year to secure that funding again. We did it, and I, you know, it needs to be a pattern every year, but the point at which you go, okay, look, I was at capacity at $250,000 for 3 or 4 years. I do need $100,000 more. You know, you build credibility with the board, and you know, we know that point at which we actually are going to get a return on the investment that's commensurate with, you know, the sacrifice to the general fund.
Right.
So,
and you know,
there's
a lot of different organizations and municipalities and nonprofits who have taken the same effort that we have with efforts through vouchers and spay-neuter clinics and nonprofit assistance. When they work and when they're successful, every dollar you spend at the outset of that program saves you about $3 in the long run. So it's money up front that in the future, 3 to 5 years, when we see a drastic reduction in intake, is when it's going to cost the department less money to maintain their organization, our organization, the way it is. So, I mean, there's always a silver lining to it that's above and beyond the welfare of the animals, but it'll be financially good for the county as well.
Very good.
I just wanted to say I'm so glad to hear the direction it's all going in. And the trap, neuter, and release program, I actually work at a vet in Ridgecrest, and we've been doing tons of them, so it's a great program.
Are you accepting the county vouchers?
We are, actually, yes.
Very good. Commissioner Blacker?
Oh, yes. I'll turn my mic on. Got a few in the back. Can you guys hear me? Good. Let me start off by saying, Lisa, congratulations on getting this job. I lobbied for you, too. That was a great move, and I've known both of you now for 6 years, and I have the highest respect and regard for all you guys. But anyway, congratulations. I think it's a great move. I think I wanted to kind of dissect this a little bit on page... outcomes, page 5, I guess it is. All incorporated areas of Kern County. You know what? That's not the one I really wanted. I wanted to exclude the city of Bakersfield, but okay. So we'll take Bakersfield's numbers and just analyze them for what they are, I guess. I'm going to go to 8 anyway.
Commissioner, that's on page 6, the city of Bakersfield breakout.
I'm sorry?
The extra
that's on the
extra,
right, okay.
Yeah, that's on page 6.
Page 6.
Page 5 is...
Well, it's the outcomes that don't include the city of Bakersfield.
Right.
Whatever.
Page 7.
Page 5, okay.
Page 7. That's page 7.
Page 7?
Yeah. This county and the city of Arden.
Yeah, okay, it is page 7. The adoptions, I've noticed, are up about 600, and I'm not sure all the reasons, but I'm glad to see the adoptions being engaged. I think it's excellent. The return to owner is up by 100 over, we're talking about year over year. The euthanized animals being reduced by 200 from last year. And I have percentages based on adding in the city of Bakersfield. I didn't mean to, but so I'll probably have to come back maybe later and just say, hey, this is the bottom line. But unless you've got it figured out, Nick, as far as what the save rate is, did you do that this month?
Month of October, our rate of euthanasia was 33% approximately. Okay. Conversely, your save rate would probably be in the high 80s or something.
Yeah.
Okay. You account for deceased animals that came in and account for foster animals that go
for
back.
That month
back.
I always do the year-to-date total. So,
anyway. I think the year-to-date, our save rate was approximately 60%, and the youth rate was
close. But I noticed that, I mean, it's positive on the adoption, return to owner. The euthanasia was down. TNR's down. I think, I'm not sure why that is. You got a lower, maybe there isn't as many in the system. I don't know why. But
we've learned a lot through the TNR program, you know, mostly putting the time and the effort into those, you know, neonates or 4 to 8 week old kittens that, where maybe in the past we might have held them until they're 8 weeks old. Fix them and re-release them. We're putting the effort into socializing the kittens, finding foster for them so that they can go to adoption. So that might be account for that small decrease in the TNR numbers.
Okay.
Or maybe we're just finally trying to start them.
See the results.
Scratch the surface.
And I'm really excited about the announcement at the Board of Supervisors about them asking you for a roadmap on how to get there.
Yeah. Someone tells me you had something to do with that, Commissioner.
I might have.
Excellent.
Yeah, I might have had a little bit to do with that. But I'm excited to hear about it, and that
that's
people
are becoming
energized. I mean, a year and a couple of months ago, we weren't on that level, but now we are, and I think it's wonderful. So it's all good. It's all good. Mm-hmm. A bit of bookkeeping, though, on the top of this particular report. I think it should be entitled October 2015, and the date should be some date in November, not October. A little bookkeeping, so before we file it and say, hey, this is good, we need to change the date somewhere. And that's all I've got. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
Commissioner Fury? I'm just curious, on the volunteer page, what is the Lynn Cunning Project?
We have about 5 or 6 gals that come in at least once a week, and they bring in their sewing machines, and they set themselves up in our administration conference room, and they sew together blankets for the puppies.
Nice. Okay.
It's really good. And the funny thing is, it's right next door to my office, and our walls are paper thin, so about 4 hours every Wednesday or so, I get to hear a conversation between 5 or 6 older ladies. And sometimes it's fascinating.
They're starting to make the rice things, too. Did Jeff tell you about that?
I haven't seen
it. Yeah, they're starting to make, you know, the rice. They're using the cloth, and they're putting rice in it for the neonates so they can warm up.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice. Okay, thank you.
You know, one more thing, Supervisor Perez, as far as funding for the spay-neuter program is concerned, you know, the last fiscal year when we ran the spay-neuter, it could be said that really we were running on all cylinders for 6 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And any of the voucher efforts that we made prior to January of 2015 were mostly out of the department's trust fund, from what I understand.
Yes.
So there, we have some valid concern that the funding that we have now will get through pretty quickly, through the vouchers, through the clinics. It's not a concern that we'll not be able to support the program because we still have the trust fund from the licensing to fall back on. And there's plenty of money there, but it's a good problem to have $250,000 appropriated for spay neuter, and you're going to use it all.
Yes, that's critical.
Yep. Anything else?
No, I just want to say welcome. I think this is an exceptional addition to an already fabulous team that I think we have. for animal services and making it the kinder, gentler animal services that we've all been striving for. You guys are doing great work. Thank you. Okay. On to item F, which is, we need to receive a file. I need a motion.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Anybody? Okay. Receive the file. Next, we have commissioner announcements or reports. Commissioner Blackburn.
Well, let's see. Nathan's over here.
Yeah, that's on the thing. So.
I want to talk about an issue that's kind of been a thorn on my side almost 2 years, and that is the issue of we commissioners having business cards or not. And, I don't get it. I really don't. But it's like when I went to meet Nathan 14 months ago, I shook my hand out and said, hey, my name's Gary Blackburn. I'm from Bakersfield. And by the way, I'm commissioner for the Animal Control Commission. And he looked at me and I said, honest. Honest, believe me. I had nothing to give him. I couldn't give him anything that said I was. I had to write my name on a piece of paper and my email address. And that started off on a little kind of an unprofessional start. But it's not the only time. I'll do ride-alongs with some of the field guys and meet people or whatever, like on the library, things that I do, I have no way to say I'm a part of the Animal Control Commission. Mm-hmm. And I know that they tried to explain it to me about maybe 16, 18 months ago. I didn't really get it all, but it's an issue that I've got. And so, I mean, people of all levels of county government, entry levels, whatever, have a card that says who they are. We're not trying to impersonate a elected official or anything like that. And by the way, they don't have to number their cards. I just think it's silly. So I'd like to explore that with the group and say, why don't we, and why can't I at least identify myself as a commissioner when I'm out at the proper time to do so?
I know we're not agendized, but could I ask the question to council that don't the other, like Civil Service Commission, I've seen them with cards.
The Civil Service Commission is a completely different animal. It's established by ordinance.
Okay.
None of the commissions, the Assessment Appeals Board, this commission, they're not issued cards. There are security concerns. Mm. Cost is also a concern. Not to mention the fact that the cards would have to indicate personal information, address information, because there is no general place for any board member of any kind to have an address and phone within the county. It is generally a policy consideration for the county, and to the best of my knowledge, at this time, it's not been raised with the CAO's office.
So maybe we can agendize it and talk about it in the future.
Okay.
You want to agendize it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Anything else?
In looking through this director's report, I'm just pleased that all of my ideas have been put into fruition. So, just kidding. Nice work.
You're the boss and all your ideas.
Liz, you missed it. I said, I'm just pleased that all of, looking through this
She's
report, all of my ideas have been put into fruition. So they've come to fruition. So of course I'm pleased. Then I said, just kidding. Nice job. And everybody.
Okay, so then that closes Commissioner Announcements and Reports. Then we're on to old business. Item 1, staff referrals, we have none. Item number 2, spay neuter funds updates.
Good evening. I am Blake Smith. I am business manager for the Animal Services Department, and I get to do a spay-neuter funds update every month, except I brought my agenda instead of my report. It's time of night. My blood sugar starts tweaking, so you know. Anyway, so it's a one-page report, and it was sitting there on the table. If you have one, it says spay neuter $250,000. And for those of you who looked at last year's report and now you get to look at this year's report, I love this year's report so much better. It is so not as complex as the other one. And it still tells everything that needs to be told, in my never-to-be-humble opinion. As of the 17th of November, we have 758 total surgeries going. 430 of them have come from the low-income vouchers. This may appear to be a slow start, but it really isn't, because, see, the way the Board of Supervisors does this funding, you know, we have to wait until they set the budget. And then we have to call around and get other things set up after they've set the budget. But then we know we have the $250,000. So we're working now on getting, we got Marley's Mutts going with their second year funding. Our outlying areas. We have set up, how many clinics do we have with Valley Vet after the first of the year?
12.
Okay, so, all right. So we're off to a little bit of a slow start, because when we called Valley Vet, they were booked through the end of the calendar year. And so, but they gave us, we have 12, and 12 with them, and next year we'll be able to use our coach for additional outlying area clinics for the same thing, and we're working. And so I got my percentage. I've got the percentages over here for where we are, and the balance left of the fiscal year is about 62%. So we're ahead of the game on the spay neuter, on the low income vouchers, and we're a little behind the game on the others. But I'm not concerned about catching up. So we're raring to go, and if there's any questions, I can answer them.
Very good. My question, it sounds like you think it's moving along the way that it's supposed to.
Yes, I do. We at the end of the year, at the end of the fiscal year, on June 30th, it takes us like 2-3 months to get all of the numbers handled. So we are inherently a couple of months behind with the spay-neuter vouchers, because we issue the voucher, they get them, they get them redeemed, they come back from the vet in another month. So we're inherently behind the game a little bit anyway.
Like, how long are our low-income vouchers, when do they expire?
They're good for 45 days. 45 and days. If somebody can't get in within 45 days, then the veterinarian can call us, and we have never turned one down.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And we want to make them even more more available with the surfaces that are now available to the officers. I can add the little square thingies on there, for those of you who know what that is, and the officers can go out to on a property and they can see that, you know, it's not licensed, it's not fixed. They can issue vouchers. They can go back and, you know, once the surgery is done, and issue the licenses using the people's credit cards. And just about everybody has a card now that can run through a square. And so we want to move that direction. But we've got to get the officers are freaking out. Some of them, they got these Surface Pros a week and a half ago, and a couple of them are really happy about it, and a couple of others, some of the others are having an adjustment. So I want to give them a couple of months adjustment before I lay something else on them.
Fair enough.
And after that, they're going to have to start issuing, they can issue vouchers in the field.
That was so great.
So. We can also send some teenagers out to train them.
Your son could probably.
Yeah, the little millennials. Yeah. They're amazing. Yes. They know what they're doing. Terry?
Hi. I'm breaking this down by when you go dollar amounts and how many surgeries we got per dollar amount. Why is it that in outlying area surgeries and TNRs, we're getting twice as many surgeries for the buck than we are? They're $51 per surgery, whereas Marley's Mutts, $125 per surgery. Why is there such a discrepancy?
The discrepancy is that the dollar amount that we've given them is a $10,000 advance. And so, although they've only done 80 surgeries to go along with that, they have to come up with quite a few more before I'll give them another $10,000 advance. So that's why.
So it's the allocated money, and then it's the actual number of surgeries that come
out. Right, right. Okay. So next month they'll still have $10,000 probably sitting there, but they'll have triple the surgeries or double the surgeries, so it'll change that.
Okay, all right.
Pardon me, I'm sorry. Can you state your name for the record, please?
I'm sorry, Terry Kahn, K-A-H-N.
Thank you.
Anybody else? And I would like to note that, Blake, it was you that in May stated that we should be no-kill in about 5 years.
And correct. I did say that.
Okay. So, see, positive outcome from the man that handles the money.
And although it's going to take more than this, this is critical. It really is.
Absolutely.
Making this work is key. Thank you.
Thank you, Blake.
Very good.
All right. Emergency preparedness. Commissioner Geary.
Okay. Nick, Maggie, and Georgiana Armstrong from our emergency services manager. Can you hear me now? So we all met on Monday. Well, sort of kind of all met. Georgiana was on a conference call. But we kicked around what it would be the direction that we should go to help animal services in our emergency preparedness subcommittee. And it seems that they pretty much got the small animals kind of squared away, but it's the large animals that need some help. So we're going to be meeting once a month. Commissioner Haggard is going to meet with us as well. And I think the direction we're going to start to go in is put a template of sorts together that puts together how to have communities make their own plan and help them along, hopefully get them self-sufficient. But we're still, this is baby steps, so we're going to be meeting once a month and see where we go from there. Pretty much.
Very good.
Great, thank you.
Working on that. Any questions from the audience?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, Liz, for the record, please.
Can I have to get up or can I shout?
We can hear.
Shout.
Go ahead and shout. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the 5th District. In the current county emergency preparedness plan, which I believe exists in some form or another, had they until this point considered animals, or is this something new for them?
It's very vague.
Oh,
it's about a couple lines and pretty vague.
Yeah, people come first. That's what it comes down to.
So there's a general county disaster plan. Emergency response plan, and each department is included in that plan. Now, it doesn't step out specifically what each department is responsible to do as far as what their individual response would be, but there is a particular order. We usually get notified either very soon after or right along the same time as the Department of Human Services, and that makes sense because Department of Human Services sets up or contacts the Red Cross, who sets up the human shelter, and then we get contacted to set up the animal shelter somewhere nearby the human shelter. So there is a plan. We are involved. It just doesn't get break down into specifics.
Okay. Presented on that side of Vermont for our El Nino event. That was very well attended, but Animal Services Director, made an excellent presentation and giving folks info and how to think about these issues prior to the crisis.
Excellent.
So I'm very pleased about that. So thank you.
Anybody living in the Fraser Park area, I believe there's an El Nino preparedness meeting in Fraser Park tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants more information, come and see me after the meeting.
Thank you. All right, friends. Judy Donnell,
Friends of the Kirk County Animal Shelters Foundation. Okay, so we're doing spay-neuter numbers. In cahoots with Basic Needs Foundation, we have done 107 cats, 292 dogs, for a total of $10,900. That's through October. We haven't got the November bills yet. Through November 9, we have issued 1,246 cat vouchers, 636 dog vouchers. We've used 493 cats, done 250 dogs. And again, ones issued today, we're not going to get the bills for till January or February, so we're always way behind. That total comes out to $14,860 for a total so far. $25,760, which is $5,700 more than the city's put out.
Well, we're better.
We've been kind of beating on them, but slowly but surely. We are also moving ahead in baby steps with our Kern River Valley snip and tip program. Barbara has talked to Wells Fargo up there, and they're putting through, hopefully, we'll see, we're putting in the grant for a $1,000 grant from them. And from what I'm able to tell from my emails, I believe Critters is going to see 6 or 8 or 10 cats in the morning with any kind of luck, because she says trapping is the 18th, and that's today. So that's our first attempt to haul some down here and see how this goes. So slowly but surely. Still doing fundraising up there because we need a whole load of money. But Barbara's been very good at hitting up local businesses and service clubs and then finding this grant. And we're also, is it a Petco grant?
Yeah.
Petco grant. We're working on a Petco grant for spay-neuter as well. So hopefully that'll help push this even a little further. Things this month. There was one other thing that was this month that's not in this report, and I'm sure Jeff will probably come next month, but we did, there was another 500-hour volunteer whose name I don't know, but we...
It was Deborah Wade.
You got them a gift card. Yes. And that was part of our expenses along with the dog and God knows what else. I don't know off the top of my head at the
Thank
moment.
Thank you for that.
Kitty litter boxes. And I'm a foster at the moment. Hoping to turn in the kitty this weekend. But yeah, so, and I'm also, it didn't even occur to me, but yes, I'm one of the city people who adopted a county dog. So that makes sense. I was like, duh, that makes sense.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks.
Commissioner, can I say one word?
Absolutely.
You know, this may be off topic, but I've been in animal welfare for 11 years now, and I've worked with my fair share of veterinarians, of veterinary hospitals, of veterinary clinics, and, you know, different organizations, different outfits, different veterinarians are in it for various reasons. I just want to say that Critters Without Litters and the folks that run that organization, specifically Vicky and Larry in the very back row back there, they're such a pleasure to deal with. They really are, and I think that a lot of any positive change and momentum that the community itself, regardless of jurisdiction, any progress we've made has to be largely on the shoulders of Critters Without Litters.
Here.
I just wanted to make sure that was said. They're acknowledged. I love those people back there.
Y'all have been wonderful to deal with as well. So it's a very nice partnership.
Thank you. Next is the report to the Board of Supervisors. Oh, yes, this. At some point, we plan to make the report to the board. I'm thinking since we're closing in on year end, we should just incorporate.
I would think so.
And wait until January to present or February.
People are very much in holiday mode in December.
Yeah.
We now dark for 2 weeks. December, we'll be cramming it into the year stuff, and people are a little checked out. I think January is a good time to kick off the year and give a good report. Okay. I think it makes sense.
And we've had a lot of good things happening over the last few months. It'd be nice to include all of that. So,
I'll keep working on it.
Very good.
Okay. And bye, Jerry.
I read a lot.
Oh, no, don't want that. Okay, and then item number six is an invitation to Nathan Winograd. For those that have been here, we've been talking about bringing Nathan up here for well over a year. And originally, California Federation of Dog Clubs was going to sponsor it. However, in talking to Nathan, he has a grant that pays for him to go into communities and do his presentation showing his film, Redemption, and then he has a PowerPoint and a Q&A that follows. In order to get that and all the materials that go with it, it has to be supported by a government entity such as Animal Services, Board of Supervisors, Commission, etc. So I've asked Commissioner Blackburn to assist me on this in trying to make this whole thing happen, and he's been working diligently, has talked to Supervisor Couch, Supervisor Perez, Director Cullen, and so ultimately I think what we would like to do tonight is to get a motion that we support his visit. And also, Commissioner Blackburn can fill you in on the preparation that we have done in readying ourselves for having a venue, etc., to bring him in with.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Always happy to talk about this one, of course. As I mentioned, I met Nathan about 14 months ago. Electric. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. The movie Redemption was amazing, and his Q&A was even more so. I mean, this guy had talked for an hour and a half, uninterrupted, didn't pause, didn't look at notes, he just kept going. It was amazing to watch. So as the chairman said, we've been trying to get him for about a year, and she asked me to step up and make it happen. And the date that he's available is, I want to do it in conjunction with one of our Animal Control Commission meetings also.
Oh, good.
Is right now it's in pencil, open to go ink, February 17th. And I looked at a couple of different venues. First, I was really dead set on having it at the supervisor's chambers because it's a classy place. I like the room and all the other reasons. Centrally located, plenty of parking. They've got the audiovisual stuff. And we wanted to have a meet and greet. Well, guess what? There's no food allowed, of course, in the chambers. And the restaurant closed at 4, and they said, I was talking to Christine and the, I forget her last name, that works for
the clerk's office.
Yeah, the clerk's, whatever her name is, Kathy Crouch. Kathy's assistant. She said, the restaurant's closed, so I,
for the record, you can do food in the rotunda.
That's what I
was
saying. Just to think, just as we move forward to think about. I do it all the time.
Rotunda.
Okay. So it was suggested to me very strongly that we consider the library. Now,
it's not as big.
No. I had. Well, let me finish.
Okay.
You shoot me down, okay? Okay, so I went over there, and I thought, well, okay, I'll give them a look-see. And I had never been in that new library since it opened up, and I'm sorry to say, any library, and I do at Cal State, so I've never been in there. So I got a tour by Ed Stark, and pleasantly surprised at the auditorium. It'll hold 350. It's got a beautiful stage. They just put in new speakers. They just have all the chairs fixed. They're all stadium chairs, just like Edwards Cinema. And by the way, they allow food. And there's a kitchen adjacent to the auditorium. And that date is free. So I tied that date up.
It's not the supervisor chambers.
And that date, the 17th, is not free, is not available, neither is our meeting in March. So the date in February was not available, the 17th, and then whatever that third Wednesday in March was not available at the Board of Supervisors. So I didn't want to go out into April necessarily. That would have been the next option. So I went back and I thought, okay, I'm going to have Chairman Anderson take a look at it. She saw it. She liked it. I think it's a great venue.
Can I ask a question? Why was the 17th not available?
because Christine said somebody had tied it up for some other function and they wouldn't release it until after the first of the year. And I don't want to give Nathan 30-day notice on it. I got to give him plenty of lead time. And so she said the same organization, by the way, had taken the date in February and the date in March, our third Wednesday. So I wanted to do
it. I don't know that they can even do that.
Well, they did, but I don't know. She didn't say who the agency was, but they had tied up both dates. So
I know.
So I wanted, you know, the food thing was an idea, you know, was...
They may have just not been thrilled about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That happens. People are human, but that's not the
point. Okay. And so I want to incorporate food into this equation.
Yes, I agree.
I have February 17th, and what was the March date?
The March date would have been the 16th. Those were both taken by somebody else. But anyway.
And those are his dates of availability.
Right. Yes. Okay. And so I went back to him and said, hey, I've got another venue. We can have it at the library on February 17th. He goes, it works for me. I said, I'll get back to you.
What time are you thinking?
Well, the deal is he could be here by about 2:30, he'd like to do. He cannot spend the night. I asked him about maybe one day doing a meet and greet, staying over. He says, "Whatever I do, I got to do it all in one day, and I got to fly out of here at 8-9 o'clock that night because everybody wants him right now." So, like 3 to 5 meet and greet, and then maybe start our meeting at 5:30 or 6 o'clock like we normally do. So we would have a procedure at the library. And I'm not sure exactly how that goes down, but I guess we open it up and then we close it and turn it over to Nathan.
Right. Yes. So
that was going to be my question. Would it be more appropriate to go dark that month?
What we had done when we brought Bill Bruce here is because we wanted to have it on a meeting night, we made a motion for a change of venue. Because we had to go to Board of Supervisors chambers for Bill Bruce's presentation. So we made a motion for a change of venue, and then what we did is we called the meeting to order, and then we just closed the meeting, and then went into the presentation. So that's the way we handled it last time.
You can do that, or you can just go dark and go directly to his presentation. It's up to you.
Okay. What do you think, Nick?
I think we go dark.
Okay. All right. So.
And the reason I chose that date is because there are some people that come in from out of town.
Right.
And I don't know who else comes in from out of town. I thought, why not make it at the same time spot?
Yeah.
Everybody's already here anyway. Let's just do it over there or somewhere else. And while everybody's here, let's just do it. So right now he's agreed to come and do that. We cannot, unfortunately, due to copyright laws, we cannot televise really any of the presentation over KGov, which I'm a little disappointed about. But for those that are there, they get to see the movie and hear the Q&A, which is mind-blowing. The facts this guy has, it's really pretty amazing to listen to him. So that's pretty much it. So I jumped on this right away. I didn't want to get it in January. You know, we're just coming off holidays. I was thinking maybe we could do a press release late in January, say, hey, we want to go no-kill, and however you want to do it with the community, because we all know what we want to do, but does the community really know? I don't think they do. So to get some power behind this thing and to get some excitement and corporate sponsors and everybody else, this is going to take everybody in this community to do what we want to do, to get everybody on board, right? So it's going to be like 300 seats, but I bet there's a demand exceeds availability. We might need to print up some tickets. I'm not sure about that part. I mean, I'll leave that up to maybe Nick or somebody to come up with an idea.
Can I raise a couple of considerations? So, I think the venue at the library is uncomfortable, for starters. I'm not thrilled about it. It's loud when you walk up and down the stairs. It's just sort of a distracting, uncomfortable environment. Doesn't mean I'm not open to it, but I think that makes it a little problematic. Two, if you have more than 300 people, you need overflow space. We have that at the Board of Supervisors. We have, you know, really high-tech technology and just access, I think, to amenities and resources that are incomparable. And I would like an opportunity to look at the date. I really appreciate what you've done. I really have. I've been to a lot of events at the library, and they're always awkward. They're a little bit awkward when you're trying to have a serious conversation. I do events there reading to children with the parents, and it's always fabulous. But a serious event, my experience has been, awkward because of the general uncomfortable nature of the venue. I'm still open to it. I love your ideas. Your passion is so right on. It's exactly what we need to do. But I would like an opportunity to go and say, what time is the chambers busy on the 17th? Is it the morning? Because we're talking about basically 3 to 5. And then six, that's evening.
I was told it was an evening event on both of those dates. I asked that question.
Yeah, it's the same organization asking for both, so they need to make a decision, like, tomorrow.
So will you do the arm twisting?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Me and Jerry. Jerry's tougher than me.
I beg to differ.
So, you know, those are just some thoughts. And like I said, not personal. This is business.
Oh, yeah.
I want an environment where we can spill over if we have a large crowd. Bathrooms are very nice. At the library, you've got a lot of patrons in and out, which is fabulous. I love that. But in my experience, at a serious event, can be challenging to have there because of the acoustics there and because of how loud the structure is. I'd like an opportunity to look at this, just look at the date again. And I'm okay going with the library ultimately. And I love that you're moving so proactively. I think it's exceptional. But if the crowd is open to it and the board is open to it, I'll look into that immediately.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, so then I think the first thing we need is if we can get a motion to approve or, you know, be behind Nathan's visit, permission.
You know,
I'm doing. Well, I know, but I need somebody to make a motion.
I make a motion to approve looking into having Nathan Wendo Brett do a presentation.
Perfect. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's one down. And then should we have a motion tentatively for the February date pending further information?
I think you, well, let's see, we're not going to meet in December. Well, they're going to possibly.
That is our hope.
Yeah, I think I think it would be appropriate to make a motion to make either the February or March date.
Okay. All right. Next motion.
Nathan has not given me March.
Right.
Okay. He's only told me
Why don't we make the motion then for the months of February through April? February, March, April. That gives us a window.
Okay.
And it doesn't write it in stone. It gives us an opportunity to check venues. That work?
That's great.
Okay, so I need another motion.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Pardon
okay,
me.
All in favor?
Ms. Manager-Chairman, I'm really sorry about this.
Okay.
Supervisor Perez, you're not a voting member.
So glad you're the one asking.
I made a motion earlier. Did you catch that? I made a motion, or I seconded earlier, and I wondered about
that. Yeah, but you had another second, so I didn't say anything.
Okay. All right.
Smart woman.
Okay, so let's do this again.
So glad, Jerry.
Okay, so I need the motion redone.
What she said.
Okay. And a second.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Now.
Any opposed?
Amen.
Okay. And then you'll continue to work with the supervisors, correct? To get their support.
I have a supervisor after support.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I
you and you know Maggard and Zach have been very supportive and proactive. David has not had as clear of a role in it, and so this is huge that you were able to do that because I didn't think that would happen. So that was huge.
Good.
And David is really, you know, he's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So he's a good one to have on your side. He's also like a giant.
Right.
So everybody's afraid of him.
On
your side.
See, I spent an hour with him, so I was able to get this. So
that's a lot of time to give him,
too. Yeah. A whole hour. And a staff.
I only get like 10 minutes with the guy.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The only thing that I caution is the fact that, okay, it's like we're going, but we're not really going. Do I give him Because he's a busy guy. He's probably got 100 people wanting him. Okay, yeah. So
well,
when do I tell him yes for sure?
Well, it's yes for sure. We just don't know the date.
Right.
When can we?
Because you're.
I think we'll know here very soon.
Okay. So maybe you and Commissioner Blackburn can consult on the date.
I'll give you my card.
Consult on the date. And then, do we need
to talk tomorrow?
We can go ahead and pencil that in as maybe we don't have to. Okay. All right. So I think we have everything on deck that we need to move forward with.
Nice job, everybody.
Cool. All right. And I have to say thank you to Commissioner Bowman for stepping in and helping me.
You're welcome. I was pleased to do it.
Okay. So now, on to new business. First is the December Animal Control Commission meeting. And we had a we would like to have a conversation about being dark in December.
Turn the lights out for
it. Okay, do I have a motion for that?
I make a motion that we go dark in December.
Do I have a second? I'll second that. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, it's on December 16th, and everybody's in holiday mode.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so December, we're dark. Okay, and then the last item is the question of reimbursement for commissioners. I believe there was something as far as transportation or reimbursements or something?
You are allowed, the local ordinance allows you to submit a claim for reimbursement for transportation to and from Animal Control Commission events. And right now, that really doesn't include anything but meetings. So for those of you who travel from out of town, you can submit a claim. Animal Services is ready to assist you in the preparation of those claims. I believe an email went out to all board members. If it was not transmitted to everyone, let me know and I will resend it.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it either.
Mm-hmm. That's three.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I know you got it.
I know you got it.
I thought it had been CC'd to everyone else, but I will resend it. But essentially, contact Animal Services. They will help you prepare a white claim. You're reimbursed for mileage.
Excuse me.
Rates.
It's not a white claim. It's a travel reimbursement claim. And the person that you need to talk to who will help you is Diane Lazaldi. And her number is 868-7102.
Oh, good. I'll let Blake handle that.
He's a business guy.
So it is strictly for meetings, not like hearings and such?
Your hearings, yes. But functions, for example, if Animal Services holds a spay-neuter clinic and you attend, it's not an Animal Commission event and it's not covered. The dangerous dog hearings, those are covered because it is an Animal Commission duty.
Or if we have an ordinance where we have to go out of the area to listen to public comments, things like that.
If you're traveling on animal control business, and talk to me and we can kind of
clarify.
It's not really defined. We'll work it through.
Okay. All right. Does that cover everybody's questions on this? Perfecto. Okay. So the last item we have is adjournment.
Can I make a quick announcement?
Yes, ma'am.
On December 8th, Councilman Willie Rivera and myself are co-hosting a pajama party for the homeless shelter at the Bell Tower Club. And it will be a nice, fun, festive event. 5 to 8 o'clock, December 8th. It's 2 days after my birthday, and we are collecting pajamas for the 100 children that spend Christmas at the homeless shelter.
Oh,
and they range in size from 0 months, literally, all the way to 17, and adult sizes for teenagers.
Oh, so we're not coming in pajamas.
No. Well, actually, you'd be more than happy to come in your pajamas, but we're collecting pajamas for the kids. They wear them at their Christmas party, and on Christmas morning, they open the gifts, and like to give them something nice and new and fleecy and warm, and it's very special. So please consider coming out. If you can't make it, you can drop pajamas at my office. If not, December 8th, Bell Tower Club, we're going to have hors d'oeuvres. There'll be a bar. You know, it'll be a fun time. So December 8th, 5 to 8, I wish I had flyers with me. I meant to bring them. I'm so sorry. So something to think about.
Excellent.
Appreciate it.
All righty.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I said that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. It's been a wonderful year. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Yeah.
And we'll see you in January.
Bye, everybody.
The date for what?
The adjournment to.
You don't have to say the date.